Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang. And today on the Strang Report, I interview none other than Eric Metaxas, who has written very many important books. I believe he's one of the great writers of our entire generation. Several years ago, he wrote the biography of Bonhoeffer, and it was a powerful book. And now he says that America is kind of where Germany was in the 1930s in the sense of terrible things are happening and the church is silent. The whole point of the book Bonhoeffer is that Bonhoeffer was one of the few who spoke up against the evils of Nazism. But what happened was the church, instead of being the conscience of Germany, went along to get along, and look what happened. And Eric has now written a new book called Letter to the American Church. He's passionate about this. I read the book last week. I'm passionate to get out the word. Every pastor in America needs to read this book. We cannot be complacent. We cannot go along to get along. We must speak up. You don't want to miss my conversation with the one and only Eric Metaxas. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Eric. Thank you for taking time to be on my podcast. You know, when I read your book, Letter to the American Church, I wanted to interview you for this, and you were able to agree it on a very, very short notice. So let's start by telling why you wrote this book. I know why you wrote it because I read it, but I want you to tell my viewers, why did you write this book? Why does the American church need a letter?
I mean, because I know your audience believes in this kind of stuff, I can just put it right out there. I believe the Lord wanted me to write this. I believe this is the Lord's message. It's not my message. God forbid I would, you know, try to foist my opinions on the church in the guise of it being what God is saying. I wrote this book with tremendous humility because I was fearful of getting it wrong. I knew the Lord called me to say most of what I say in this book. And I was like, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I've never written a book for the church. Every book I write is for everybody. Most of the time, people in the church are the main readers, but they give it to their friends. This is a book for the church. And the reason the Lord called me to write it is because he prepared me, how many years ago now? 15 years ago, when I was writing my Bonhoeffer book. I didn't know then why I was writing the Bonhoeffer book. I knew that the Lord had assigned that to me, but it wasn't like a burning desire, like I've got to tell the world the story of Bonhoeffer. But as I wrote the book on Bonhoeffer, I began to see the parallels and thought, whoa, could this happen in America? And I didn't try to underscore those parallels. Bonhoeffer is, you know, it's the longest book I ever wrote. It's the most popular book I ever wrote. Sold a million copies. It'll be a movie next year. It is in 20 languages, but I never dreamt that we would get to a point where the Lord is saying, okay, this is happening now and you need to write about it. And so Letter to the American Church is basically a warning to the church today. And I believe it's the Lord's warning. It's not my warning, that exactly what happened to Germany because of the silence of the German church is what is happening to America now because of the silence of the American church. And the Lord in his mercy is giving us a warning and saying exactly what happened in Germany will happen to you unless you repent. It doesn't have to. It's not been decided. But if you in the church do not wake up to your responsibility, and Bonhoeffer tried to make this clear, tried to wake up the German church, and they did not listen, to say that the church is the conscience of the state. When we see these evil things happening, a globalist atheism trying to take over, authoritarian globalist atheism trying to take over on every front, not just on one or two things, but on every front, it is the job of the Church of Jesus Christ to speak up, to speak out, to point out corruption, to point out evil. That's what God has called us to. And there are many American Christians, just like Germans, just like Christians in Germany in the 30s, they said, oh, no, that's not our thing. That's not our lane. We want to stay in our lane. Our lane is just to preach the gospel. That's baloney. That is not biblical. Biblically, God calls us. If you have a gospel to preach, you understand that when there's evil happening, the Lord calls you to stand against it, to point it out, to work against it, to pray against it. And there are many people in America who have this bad theology, just like the German pastors in the 30s. They had bad theology. They said, that's not our lane. We don't want any trouble. Just let us preach our little gospel. Well, that led to hell on earth. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless. We in the American church are by and large today being silent in the face of evil. The Lord is judging us already and will continue to judge us if we do not repent of the evil. And if we think what happened in Germany was bad, and we act like, well, that could never happen here. They never dreamt it could happen there. They had no idea of what lay ahead because of the silence of the church. So this book is as dramatic as anything I've ever written. I don't believe it's my opinion. I believe this is the Lord's gracious message to his people that we have to wake up. We have to be the church.
Well, I read the book last week. And I agree, every pastor in America needs to read this book. But the thing that stood out to me, and I read your Bonhoeffer book, all 600 pages. I read it several years ago. One thing that stood out to me was that in the 30s, the German people did not know what World War II would look like.
I mean,
it didn't start until the invasion of Poland, which was in September, 39.
I know all the stuff was laid long in advance, and it was because of the silence of the church that it got to where it got.
Was.
It was many years they had opportunities.
Now we could look at it and people would say, "Whoa! Of course, if they could have changed it, but you know, Germany was in a bad place. I mean, it was a depression which affected the whole world. They had been defeated in World War I. There was horrible inflation." It looked like this strong leader was at least going to bring Germany back somehow. And of course, there was also the early signs of the anti-Semitism and a whole lot of other things. And there are a lot of Christians that went along thinking that if they played nice with the Nazis, the Nazis would leave them alone. But that was not true.
Well, it's never true of evil. That's what evil does. They tell you, if you do what we tell you, well, it'll go well with you, but you're dealing with evil people. They have no morality. They have no virtue. They have no principles. They want to crush anyone who stands against them. And they're just trying to neutralize you now, pretending that they'll treat you well in the future, but they have no reason to treat you well in the future. When they have the power, they will crush you just as they're crushing those that they have the power to crush right now. It's the famous statement, Niemöller, who was a friend of Bonhoeffer's, made that you know, first they came for this group and I said nothing because I wasn't part of that group. Then they came for that group and I said nothing because I was not part of that group. Then they came for the Jews and I said nothing because I was not a Jew. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak out for me. That's what the cancel culture is today. They're coming for that group and that group, and they're picking us off and picking us off. And I have to say that if you don't stand for those who are being canceled, you don't have to like them. You know, you don't have to love Donald Trump, or you don't have to. But if you care about the principles upon which this country stands, whenever you see people being treated unfairly, when you see people being canceled for voicing unpopular opinions or opinions that you can't say that, you can't bring up the fact that maybe the election was not on the up and up. You can't even talk about that. You can't talk about the vaccines. When people tell you in America what you can and cannot talk about, right then, you know, something is profoundly wrong and you probably shouldn't be talking about those things. You should be screaming about those things. Many in the church are complacent. We have bad theology that we think being nice is the biblical thing. Jesus would just go along. That is utter nonsense. It's unbiblical. It's the devil's theology. And we need to be clear that, you know, what's so funny to me, Stephen, is that here I wrote this book on Bonhoeffer. And of course, Bonhoeffer is dealing with National Socialism, right? With the Nazis and with, and so many people today think like, oh yeah, that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is Hitler 2.0. We need to stand against him. Who's ever against him, we're for them. And that the dumb author of Bonhoeffer, the book, he doesn't get it. He's pro-Trump. And I'm thinking the devil doesn't do the same thing twice. He's not going to do the same thing. Hyper-nationalism. We need to be careful not to love America too much. America is a beautiful nation where we have liberty and self, the ability to govern ourselves, where we believe in lifting up those who are oppressed. The Nazis had precisely the opposite values. So the Germany that Hitler was trying to exalt was the devil's idea of Germany. And so many in the church today have got this all backwards. What we're fighting today, Donald Trump may be the only one who sees that China and the globalists are trying to destroy this nation. Joe Biden and others are, they seem to be going along with these things. Now, you don't have to be political. This is about seeing right and wrong. Who's standing up for virtue? Who's standing against the transgender madness? Who is standing against critical race theory? These things are all atheistic ideas. And the globalist atheist elites are saying, either you go along with this or we're going to cancel you. If you don't go along with this, maybe we'll send the IRS to your door. Maybe we'll send the FBI to your door. If Christians don't see that as wicked, if Christians don't see these things as attacks on God, there is no hope for America, just as there was no hope for Germany when the German church didn't get what was happening and said, you know, we can work with Hitler, it'll be fine. When they didn't see the evil at the heart of that doctrine, just as many in the evangelical church today do not see the evil at the heart of leftist doctrine. It is atheistic doctrine. There's nothing Christian about it. They'll borrow the morality of Christianity. You know, they say that they're anti-racist. Well, if you don't believe we're made in the image of God, where do you even come up with the idea that racism is bad? They will just say anything to get people to go along with them. But at the end of the day, their values are anti-God, anti-America, anti-liberty. The church needs to have discernment. It's why the Holy Spirit lives inside us, that we are supposed to have discernment, to discern the times and to stand and to act when God calls us to act. And I really have been astonished, not just at the general silence of the church, but at those in the evangelical church who 5 years ago I would have said these are friends, who were advocating for silence, advocating for leftist, atheistic policies, and saying this is Christianity. Many people are going to churches like that. I've mentioned it a number of times. Andy Stanley wrote a book. It's an abomination theologically, historically. It's just a mess. And I'm sure he thinks he was doing something good, but he is advocating silence. He's saying we shouldn't get political. We shouldn't this, we shouldn't that. I thought, can you imagine if somebody had said that to the abolitionists in the 19th century? Don't get political. Who cares about the slaves? Just preach the gospel. I mean, we are living at a time where prominent names in the evangelical world are advocating silence in the face of evil. And it gets even worse than that. When I went to the book page of that book that I mentioned by Andy Stanley, which is just a horror, I saw a big happy blurb, an endorsement from Jim Daly of Focus on the Family. I said, that's how bad it is in the American church, where good guys like Jim Daly, Focus on the Family, they're getting behind this view of things. This view of things is out of the pit of hell, but many in the church are deceived. I wrote this book hoping that believers will give it to pastors and say, read this book. And by the way, if you're not going to get this, I'm going to a different church, because we are in an ideological war. You and I know at its heart, it's a spiritual war. This is end time stuff. And the Lord is calling his church to speak, to stand, to be a voice for the voiceless. Your average American doesn't have a voice. Those in the church, we need to speak against all the madness that is happening, and we need to fight against it, whether that means getting involved in politics, getting involved in your school boards, taking your kids out of school, homeschooling them. There are all kinds of things we can do, but we need to get busy yesterday and stop pretending like we can go back to 1985.
because there's something about speaking up. I mean, in a way, you're speaking up, of course, but how does the average pastor speak up? I've talked to several Christian leaders and told them that I read your book, you know, as my way to get the word out. And they just kind of looked at me like, well, what am I supposed to do? Huh. So with Bonhoeffer, you know, I read the book, so I know that during the war, he was actively involved in the resistance. Of course, the war was horrendous with bombs going off and the crematoriums, you know, with the Jews and the concentration camps and everything else, and even a plot to kill Hitler. But long before that, what could the German Christians have done to have shifted that? I mean, it wasn't like Hitler was going to get saved or something. And then what can pastors do now? I mean, taking your kids out of school will save your kids, but it doesn't really change the trajectory of the school board in your city. So what can people do other than just to say things are really bad? Because I think that most Christians, even the ones that you're mentioning, kind of know things are bad. They're just reacting to it differently.
Well, I think we have to be clear. Taking your kids out of harm's way is a good. It might not solve the problem with your local school board, but you have to have the discernment. Can I fight on my local school board so that they take all this lunacy out? If you can, go there and fight. If God's calling you to do that, do that. But otherwise, get your kids out of there. Don't feed that system. And by the way, don't allow your children to be indoctrinated with atheistic Marxist lunacy, which is what is happening. I just want to be clear. This is not about saving the church. It's about the church being the voice of those outside the church. There are parents all over America dealing with drag queen story hour, transgender lunacy taking over, and they're trying to raise their kids. They're working hard, and they don't know how to deal with this. The church needs to be the loudest, clearest voice. God made us in his image, male and female. Case closed. That is a fact. It's a biological fact. You don't need to believe the Bible. You just need to know biology. People are afraid to speak up. If we don't speak up and speak up loudly, we make it harder for people to speak up. If we do speak up, we make it easier for people to speak up. So whether you're talking against critical race theory, whether you're talking against the BLM movement, whether you're talking against, you know, a two-tiered justice system, it almost doesn't matter. So when people say, what can I do? You can do everything. It doesn't matter. But doing nothing, pretending that, you know, Tip O'Neill is the head of the Democratic Party and we'll be fine. No, we are in a moment now where if we do not fight for the country, you know, and we're not fighting for the country because we're fighting for the country. It's that this has been, according to Lincoln, we're the last best hope of earth. We are the place where people have the freedom to preach the gospel, where we have the freedom to do all of these things and to export these freedoms around the world. So the Lord looks to us because he has blessed us more than any nation in the world. If we go down, which is what is happening, why, when you think about the idea of borders, right? Fentanyl is pouring across our borders, killing people as we speak. That is a human rights issue. I mean, why don't we say that's an issue of morality? That's not politics, that's morality. We've got to close our borders. We've got to protect these people. You know, if brigands were climbing over the wall and killing people, you'd say, well, we need to do something about that. Not having a border, it's just that kind of Marxist lunacy. It's woke lunacy. Everybody in the world knows having, you know, walls and doors with locks, that's kind of common sense. We're living in a world where people are saying there is no common sense, there is no truth. The job of the church is to speak against these lies, against these madness, to be a voice of truth and sanity in the midst of the craziness. By the way, first thing that's going to happen is it's going to lead to evangelism. Because when you're speaking about these things, when you're calling out the lunacy, normal people in America who aren't evangelical Christians are going to go, those people don't fear speaking the truth. I want to find out, you know, what they had for breakfast. I want to find out where do they get their courage from? Because everybody else is just kind of going along with things, with the corruption, with it. I don't know where you can look that there isn't an opportunity to do something. So when pastors say, I don't know what I can do, the people in your pews are suffering. They're looking for leadership. If you can't provide that leadership to them, I kind of wonder why you're in the pulpit. You're there to help them process what is happening around them, not just to get a better read on, you know, something from the scripture. You've got to apply it to where we are. And so you've got to say, if I was alive in the 19th century, in the middle 19th century, would I speak from the pulpit on slavery? Or would I say, you know what? That's not a gospel issue. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't want to talk about that because I'm afraid I might lose a tither.
What response are you getting to your book? Because I know you're going around talking about what response, or maybe are there some examples of where pastors in particular have had their eyes open and they've spoken out and something good has actually happened?
Literally the first time I spoke on this book, before it was even officially out, I think it might have been late August, early September last year, I spoke at a church in Jersey, way down in New Jersey. And when I was done speaking, the pastor came up to me in the parking lot as I was leaving and confessed to me that there'd been an issue with the school board and these evil woke policies that were being pushed into the school, sex education, really evil stuff. And he was going to go and speak against it. His elder board told him, no, we don't want you to do that. And he said, okay, I won't. When he came to me in the parking lot, he said, I know I was wrong not to go. I needed to go and to speak, that the children and the parents depended on me as a spiritual leader to do it. And I didn't go. And I know that the next time something like this comes up, he gets it. He's going to go. He's going to speak up because he knows he's not just speaking up for his parishioners. There's more to life than evangelism. There are people suffering because evil ideas are being pushed on our kids, in the media. It is the job of the church to use our voice. And there are endless opportunities. That's just one example of somebody who, when he heard me speak on this, and it made me realize, Stephen, that there are many people, they're good guys, but they just haven't heard this. They just, all they're hearing is keep your nose down, preach the gospel, it'll all go back to normal. That's a lie. It won't go back to normal. It's bad. It's going to get worse. There are things down the line that are happening. If the church is not speaking up, the Lord will give us over to our desires. He says, you just want to be quiet? Okay, you'll see what happens. Listen, it happened in Germany. If you went back and spoke to some of those pastors, once the evil had taken over that nation, they would have said, if we would have known where this was going, we would have spoken up. But now we can't. Now we have no voice. Now if we speak up, we're going to be sent to a concentration camp. That is basically where we are now. We have a voice. We have tremendous freedom. If we don't use our freedom and trust the Lord to walk with us as we do that, we're going to lose what we have. And when we do wake up, it will be too late.
So with people waking up, speaking up, what's going to happen? Are we going to elect new people? Will the woke mob back off? What do you see happening? What is it going to really take to turn this nation around? And also within the church, there's not necessarily agreement politically. It seems like the left, they all work together. The Christians usually don't work together, or they'll just let the few spokesmen. There are some good people that are speaking up and have been over the years, but it is not widespread. Most churches, most pastors, including the one I go to, are trying to sit it out and hope the problem goes away.
That's literally why I wrote the book. And it is my strong counsel to get out of those churches, folks. If there are people trying to sit this out, they're working for the devil. They think there's a safe third way. They think, I'm not going to be outspoken on this side. I'm not going to be outspoken. I'm going to stay in the middle, the safe religious middle. That is the devil's territory. That is what the German pastors did. If you're going to that kind of a church, you need to either get the pastor to speak up and to be a part of setting things right, or get out of that church. We are facing judgment from God. I don't think most Americans have the imagination. It's why I wrote the book, to say, do you have any idea how bad things can get? You think it was bad during the lockdowns? You think that some of that stuff was bad? That is just a taste. There are people around this world who are living under authoritarian regimes, that you can't sneeze the wrong way without suffering and being persecuted. And if we in America don't use our God-given freedoms and our money and our voices and our power, economic and otherwise, to right these wrongs, the Lord's judgment is already happening. The axe is at the root. There are churches withering today because they refuse to address these issues. They think, I'm just going to ride it out. That's exactly what the German pastors, they were convinced, we're just going to ride this out. Well, that didn't happen.
Well, that's so well said. And your book is very well written. I enjoyed being reminded of some of the things about Bonhoeffer, and I was just astounded at the parallels you were able to draw. And when I read Bonhoeffer several years ago, I don't think I said to myself, this is America today, but yet you've seen that and you share it. I want to give you the last word and be sure to tell people how they can contact you. The book is available really anywhere books are sold. It's doing very, very well. People are reading it, and hopefully people will read it and respond.
Well, I really do believe that it's up to the American church. The Lord looks to each of us. He doesn't force us to do the right thing. He did not force the German Christians to do the right thing. But just as the Old Testament prophets tried to speak, just as Bonhoeffer tried to speak, the Lord is trying to get us to do the right thing. And I do believe if we do, we will see revival. Out of revival, we cannot imagine what wonderful things could lie ahead. But we have to fight. We have to do everything we can do. If you care about other human beings and you do nothing, God will hold you accountable. If you were alive during slavery times, as I said, and you said, well, that's not my issue, I don't care, God will judge you for that. God will judge you for ignoring the cries of the Jews on their way to the death camps. There are people today, not just in America, all around the world, suffering because of the silence of the church in America, because we don't speak up against the human rights abuses of China, which are satanic. They're out of the pit of hell. I have to say that, you know, the Lord is already judging us, but he gives us an opportunity. And if you call yourself a Christian, you're supposed to believe Jesus defeated death on the cross. Therefore, you have no fear in speaking the truth. You don't worry about where your next dollar is coming from. You don't worry about who's tithing in your church. You know what? You trust the Lord that you do what he calls you to do, and he will walk with you. And if you don't trust the Lord, then the Lord says, okay, have it your way. It really is up to us. And that's why I believe the Lord called me to write this book, Letter to the American Church. I was going to call it Faith Without Works is Dead, because I think that's part of the heresy of the American church. We kind of act like, oh, I believe. And the Lord looks at our lack of works, and he says, I know you don't believe. You say you believe, but it's like when Bonhoeffer talked about cheap grace. Real grace is costly. Real faith is lived out in works, in action. And so if we do have saving faith, we're going to act fearlessly, joyfully, hopefully, and then we leave the results in the Lord's hands.
I want to encourage everyone watching not only to read this book, but to get a copy and give it to your pastor. Give it to other pastors. We've got to get the word out. This is very important. And a lot of pastors are good people, but they don't have good role models. They're not sure what's going to happen. They hate to be out there all by themselves, like hanging by a rope around their neck at the end of a tree branch. And if we give them a little bit of encouragement, a little bit like Eric talked about, I think a lot of people will stand up and be strong. He is sounding a message that must be proclaimed far and wide. Help me to get this word out. Share this on social media. Leave comments. Talk about it. And also, if you don't subscribe to my podcast and my YouTube channel, please do so and help us to get out the word. Thank you for watching The Strang Report today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com. In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.